What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Every trials and temptation is their trouble anyway. We should never be discouraged. The Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake me. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Faithful Father, we pause today on your Sabbath at the end of this week's journey. We seek the safety we find in your presence. We look for fellowship with our brethren. We seek holiness in our lives, and we pause to reflect on your holiness. We thank you for being our faithful God, for giving us strength and filling us with hope. We ask that you magnify our vision for your kingdom and that you place your melody within our heart and motivate us with your word. We are grateful, Father, for this sanctuary. We recognize you as the giver of all good things. We praise you for giving strength to the weak, for encouraging the fearful, for enlightening the blind, and energizing the lame. We thank you for Jesus, our Redeemer, who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus, our Savior, who taught us how to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I was mentioning before that I like stories about people, especially stories that help me to understand the way people respond when they are
required to make choices. Our choices say a lot about us. And one story I find very intriguing is the story of one of the devoted disciples of Jesus. When Jesus called this man to leave his fishing boat and his nets and follow him, he did just that. He dropped his nets. He may have asked himself, "Am I sure about this?" But he could not deny his desire to follow the new rabbi who called him to follow. Jesus called Peter to give up his way of life, and that's what Peter did. Peter was obedient. Peter was a man of great faith. One day, when Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, the Sea of Galilee, he called out, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to walk to you on the water." Peter heard the voice of Jesus, and that's what he did. He stepped out of the boat, and he also walked on the water. Peter was also a man of spiritual insight. On another day, Jesus asked him, "What about you, Peter? What do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus was pleased with that answer. Jesus continued and said that Peter was like a solid rock. Jesus declared that upon this truth, that he, Jesus, was the Messiah, upon that truth, Jesus would build his church. Peter was quite the follower of Jesus. He gave up his livelihood to follow Jesus. He was obedient to Jesus. His faith was strong, and he had keen spiritual insight. But there was something significant that he was lacking. Just after Jesus had commended Peter for declaring him the Messiah, Jesus began speaking about his soon to happen suffering. And what happened next? Peter's character burst forth onto the scene with these words. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Matthew chapter 16, verse 22. Jesus wasted no time responding to Peter. Jesus turned and looked directly at him. Maybe they were eyeball to eyeball, almost nose to nose. And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Peter didn't expect that. He was full of himself. He trusted in his own thoughts, especially about divine things. And there were other occasions when his character flaw came gushing out. More than once, the disciples had questions as to who among them would be the greatest when the kingdom was established. Peter was one of the disciples vying for the top spot. He sought honor above his fellow disciples. Apparently, his spiritual insight was not as keen as he thought it was. Rather, he was overly focused upon himself. His spiritual insight wasn't what it seemed to be. After Jesus had looked directly at Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan," he then followed up in the very next verse by saying, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." To follow Jesus, a person must deny self. Did Peter understand what Jesus was telling him? When Peter denied Jesus after Jesus had been captured by the Jewish religious leaders, or the authorities, we can read three times that Peter said, "I don't know that man." Also in Matthew chapter 26, three times Jesus said, "I don't know that man." In other words, "I have nothing to do with him. We aren't friends. I deny having any connection with that guy." Jesus had told Peter that he must deny himself. Self must be ignored. Ignoring self is the root of true discipleship. Peter did not understand that. He was unable to follow the command from Jesus to deny himself. He didn't get it. Even the night before his arrest, Jesus was still teaching Peter. Jesus told him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." Do I have that verse up there? And with the same air of confidence that so often blossomed into cockiness, Peter responded, "Even if everyone else deserts you, I never will. Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." And Peter really meant it. And he intended to follow through with his bold claims. But the reality is that Peter did not know himself. Jesus knew what was about to happen. Jesus used the word deny, which is a strong word. Jesus had told Peter to deny himself, but now he used the same word directed toward another person. He told Peter, "You will deny me." It's one or the other. We must either deny self or deny Jesus. There are two forces fighting within each of us. The power of self that leads to sin, or the power of Jesus, which is the very power of God. Only one or the other power can control your character. Moving on with Peter's story. Peter denied knowing Jesus three times. And after the third time, Jesus looked right at him. The look of disappointment on the face of Jesus was likely more than Peter could take. Peter knew all at once what he had done. He knew that he was more than just a failure. He was a terrible failure. He had boasted just the evening before that he was ready to die with Jesus if necessary. And then we read, chapter 26, verse 75. Peter went outside and wept bitterly. No one could know the depth of despair and shame that Peter must have felt. When he saw Jesus crucified and buried, he surely remembered all the wonderful, blessed fellowship during the previous 3 years. Denied. I don't think we can truly empathize with the depth of humiliation that Peter felt. This was his turning point. Later, after Jesus rose again on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Jesus asked the same question again. And then one more time, Peter became sad when Jesus asked him a third time. Three times, Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Matching the three times that Peter denied even knowing Jesus. Peter responded, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Peter was finally ready to go to the next level with his spirituality. He was ready to be delivered from himself. Peter and the other disciples, they were finally kneeling at the footstool of the throne of God. And that's when Jesus told them to wait. That's right. When Jesus had them right where he wanted them, he told them to wait. This is what he said. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. We know how the story continues. On the day of Pentecost, Peter and many others were changed when the Holy Spirit came upon them and filled them with power and spiritual insight. Peter became a changed man, but the change was far more than his ability to preach powerfully or his new insight into understanding Scripture. There was something far better and deeper about Peter. Peter's whole nature was changed. Before, when Jesus told Peter to deny himself, Peter denied Jesus. Before, when Jesus warned Peter that he would deny his master, Peter insisted that he would never do such a thing. But after his repentance and makeover by the Holy Spirit, Peter was a different man. In his epistle, he wrote, "How is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." Powerful words. Peter was utterly changed. Before, he was self-pleasing, self-trusting, self-seeking. Now he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was changed into a new person through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. Wow. Now that's a story. Peter's story tells us that a person can be earnest, godly, devoted, and in some ways successful in ministry, but still have a character that is fundamentally focused on self. Peter, before he denied Jesus, had healed the sick. He had cast out demons. Yet there was still within him a large measure of a life focused upon himself. Jesus had taught Peter to deny himself, but Peter never understood what that meant until he repented and the Holy Spirit changed him from within. Peter received something every person needs. Every person needs God's Holy Spirit. There are two spirits on this earth. Jesus said that the world cannot receive the spirit of truth that comes from him. Paul said, and this is the J.B. Phillips version, which I love this particular version, how can anyone understand the thoughts of God except the very Spirit of God? And the marvelous thing is this, that we now receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God himself. So that we can actually understand something of God's generosity toward us. Our great need is to lose the spirit of the world and to gain the Spirit of God. How can that happen? It can happen only when the Spirit of God enters within you. And you allow that Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, to take possession of your life and your entire being. Some believers ask God for this Holy Spirit to come upon them as a spirit of power to enable them in their work or their ministry. And that's good. It can be a blessing when you feel a measure of God's power. You thank God for it. But God wants to give you something much better than simply power for ministry. God has something far better in mind that includes the ability to minister with power. God wants you to allow the Holy Spirit as a spirit of power to possess your life, to conquer self, and to work the very image of Jesus into your core consciousness. There's a difference between the Holy Spirit as a gift of enabling power and the Holy Spirit as a gift of grace to live a holy life. You may have a measure of the power of the Holy Spirit, but if you lack the Holy Spirit as a spirit of grace and of holiness, then you will remain having a defect in your character. You may even be the means that God uses to bring about conversion in others, but you won't be able to help them to a higher standard of spiritual life. If you move on to another location, a great deal of your ministry, your former ministry, may falter. The difference is when you allow God's Holy Spirit to take full control of who you are. God wants to develop your character. He wants you to leave your old character behind, create a new, kinder, gentler temperament, one with carefully spoken words, one with feelings of compassion toward your fellow man. Do you want the Holy Spirit to work in your life? That's up to you. But Pastor Michael, how can that be? Jesus explained how that can be. Jesus explained how you can choose the way the Holy Spirit works in your life. We've already read it. Jesus explained it to Peter when he told Peter to deny himself. I have another way to describe what Jesus meant when he told Peter to deny himself. The word deny, as used by Jesus, connotes the idea of losing sight of oneself and one's own interests. So take this away with you today. To deny yourself means absolute surrender. God claims your absolute surrender. The question is, are you willing to surrender yourself absolutely into His hands? God wants to help you make it happen. God doesn't ask you to surrender yourself all by yourself. He asks you to surrender with Him by your side. Philippians chapter 2:13 says this: God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. See, it's not us. It's God in us. God works in you through His Holy Spirit. That's a promise from God's Word. God raises up men and women to be His ambassadors to show others the way to live according to His standards. As best we can, anyway. You can't do it through your own strength. It is God in you through His mighty Holy Spirit that enables you in a mighty way, because God's grace through the Holy Spirit empowers you to change. And it gets even better. When we absolutely surrender to God, He not only claims our surrender and works a miracle within us, but He also promises to maintain our absolute surrender. Some believers don't seem to understand this. They say that their excitement about Jesus has faded away. They say that the world seems to always pull them back into its clutches. But Jesus teaches us that life doesn't have to be that way. In the matter of surrender to God, there are only two players. There is you, and there is God. There was once a man to whom Jesus said, "Anything is possible if a person believes." What was his response? "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." Do you believe that God can take possession of your life and maintain you in your absolute surrender? God wants you to believe it. And that's what Jesus taught as He walked this earth. I know one of our favorite hymns back in the Bradenton Church was a church that some of the saints who have now passed on used to love. It was called "Moment by Moment." The words, the verses and the chorus, they capture this exact sentiment that God can take possession of your life and maintain you in absolute surrender. So how did it go? "Moment by moment, I'm kept in His love. Moment by moment, I've life from above. Looking to Jesus, till glory does shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am Thine." Certainly, if God allows the sun in the sky to shine upon you moment by moment, then He can also allow His Holy Spirit to shine within you moment by moment. If you don't feel God's Holy Spirit shining within you, it's because you have not absolutely surrendered. Well, guess what? Absolute surrender doesn't mean your life will be easy. Yes, as we all know, life is full of problems. Sometimes you have to go the extra step. Feel like you're breaking your back when somebody doesn't show up to help you move. But by the grace of God, by the power of God's Holy Spirit within you, you can have a life destined for joy and contentment, regardless of the situation you find yourself within. When was Peter delivered? When was he changed? The change began when Jesus looked at him and he began weeping in repentance. That was when he absolutely surrendered. And soon after, God gave him the power of the Holy Spirit within. Do you want to feel like Peter? You can. Bow your knee to the Heavenly Father and ask that He will strengthen you using His powerful, glorious Holy Spirit that was placed within you when you became a follower of Jesus. The Holy Spirit reveals the ways of your Messiah. And as the days go by moment, the ways of Jesus will become more and more your ways. Jesus came to cast out the old way and to change you forever. Preparation time your life is for the glory to come. For whatever use God has for you in this universe, He is preparing you for eternity. May the power that changed Peter into a new person change you as well. Your first step is absolute surrender. Amen. Hallelujah.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly Thine. May Thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know Thy power divine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power, let Thy blessing fall on me.